This program contains coarse language. Inside a hospital room, a terminally ill patient sits down to record a secret interview.
Rolling.
The only thing worse than losing your life is wasting your life. My name's Troy Stoles.
Troy Stoles is a gambling industry whistleblower who knows his time is running out.
Recently, I've been diagnosed with stage 4 esophageal cancer, primary, and bone cancer, secondary. The doctors have given me weeks, maybe months at best, to live. So I'm going to use some of my last moments to tell you this.
He wants to put on the record what could be his final words.
They didn't want to stop the money laundering. There's a lot of money involved in the industry, and that normally flows to the top.
For decades, Clubs New South Wales has been one of Australia's most influential lobby groups, notorious for attacking its critics.
Belligerent, aggressive, take no prisoners, win at all costs.
This is just an act of intimidation and bullying. This is to try and scare me off. They're picking on the wrong girl.
Troy Stoles exposed secrets of the club industry, emboldening other insiders to speak out.
I don't know how deep their tentacles go. I'm not feeling safe even talking about this now.
The club industry has blocked national poker machine reform before. Now it's fighting moves towards a cashless system in New South Wales to combat money laundering and gambling addiction.
When they said, no, we're going to go to war with you on this, I realised it was all over.
This genuinely is a watershed moment. I'm in no doubt that that reform will roll out across the whole country.
The poker machine industry has long been one of Australia's most powerful interest groups. Clubs New South Wales has bent state and federal governments to its will and killed off attempts at reform. Now it's facing a major test of its power and influence, with billions of dollars at stake. In a quiet corner of the New South Wales Hunter Valley, Troy Stoles is preparing for a momentous day.
Please remind me when we get there this one, I've got to talk to Dr. McGuigan about the heart specialist appointment.
Eight months after his cancer diagnosis, he's about to find out if endless hours of radiation and chemotherapy have bought him any time.
It's really going to come down to what Dr. McGuigan says today at the appointment with the results of the PET scan from last week. So I've spoke to him a little while ago about the tumour on the spine, and he's said obviously any further radiation will be depend on what comes back in the PET scan. So
Troy Stoles' wife Diane and mother-in-law Carmel are coming along for support.
We'll just have to wait and see.
They're preparing for bad news and the likelihood he'll soon need to start using a wheelchair.
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
You need to understand that it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
So when that's going to happen is the time frame that we need to be finding out.
That's hard to, I guess, for me to digest. I guess we better get going.
Max Plyner again.
You go. I'll lock the door.
It's just under an hour's drive to Muswellbrook Hospital, where Troy Stoles' oncologist is waiting to deliver the verdict.
Yeah, my legs are gone asleep. So yeah, thank you.
Today, there's finally a glimmer of hope.
Very good.
How'd it go?
Yeah, good news. It's, at the moment, it's, stable.
Oh, good.
So nothing showed up on the X-ray, so they won't say remission because I've still got to continue the treatment indefinitely, but it's working.
Oh, that's good.
So that's really, really good. But no remission.
That's good.
Let's go to lunch.
All right.
Cancer is just one of the battles Troy Stoles has been fighting since he quit his job as an anti-money laundering compliance officer at Clubs New South Wales. For 3 years, he's taken on the might of Australia's most notorious gambling lobby group, blowing the whistle on the industry.
It's no secret that Australians pour billions into the pokies. A whistleblower from inside the industry claims they're also a godsend for money launderers.
This is quite alarming, the amount of money that is being laundered through clubs and pubs in Australia, let alone New South Wales.
Clubs New South Wales has dragged him through the courts and during the process secured a legal gag order preventing him from speaking out further.
The way they've treated Troy Stoltz, the way they've gone out to destroy financially and in some ways physically a dying man.
Four Corners has obtained the video Troy Stoles secretly filmed in hospital. The declaration of a dying man. Stoles accuses Clubs New South Wales of ignoring his efforts to improve anti-money laundering systems in clubs. In late 2019, he quit and took legal action, claiming he'd been underpaid. Then he made a decision that changed his life, laying bare one of the industry's dirtiest secrets.
Quickly it became apparent to me that they didn't want to stop the money laundering or organised crime coming into the venues and spending their money. It is all about money, profit in clubs. So in the end, I resigned and I took an internal board paper to Tasmanian MP for Clark, Andrew Wilkie.
I call the member for Clark.
Deputy Speaker, I've obtained alarming information from a whistleblower regarding Clubs New South Wales, the peak body representing 770 clubs and which is in effect the peak pro-gambling organisation in Australia. According to this 2019 Clubs New South Wales board paper provided by the whistleblower, 90 to 95% of New South Wales clubs are operating illegally when it comes to money laundering and the funding of terrorism. And no one is doing anything about it.
And, of course, what does Clubs New South Wales do? Or what do they not do? They don't say, heavens, this is a terrible turn of events, we'll do our best to clean up our act. No. They turn their attention to where did that leak come from? Who is that whistleblower?
Clubs New South Wales hit back with court action claiming Stoles had breached his contract by releasing confidential information.
As a result of me handing over that board paper to Andrew Wilkie, Clubs New South Wales have set about on a relentless campaign to destroy my credibility, my financial circumstances, and my health.
To others who worked alongside Troy Stoles, Clubs New South Wales' campaign against him was a telling sign of its culture and conduct.
The viciousness with which he was pursued was so, like, it was, all of this was so unnecessary. When you look back on it, I still sometimes sit and go, how did this even happen? Here was this man with such loyalty to the communities he served, to the clubs.
Delna Dugdale worked at Clubs New South Wales for 6 years in corporate governance. She's speaking out for the first time.
Why have you decided to do this interview?
And I've thought about this, and I think there comes a point where you have to say, enough, enough. I've watched this unfold for 3 years, and now I have to stand up and be counted and speak my truth.
Delna Dugdale says it was an open secret that clubs breached anti-money laundering rules.
It was common knowledge that clubs didn't comply. We heard firsthand from people in the gaming rooms that this stuff did happen, and when they did report it, a lot of times no action was taken because the person concerned could be one of their top gamers. So it came as absolutely no surprise whatsoever. And I guess I was just really puzzled that anybody was even questioning that, because it was common knowledge in Clubland and in Clubs New South Wales.
What do you make of the way Clubs New South Wales has dealt with Troy after he went public?
I'm trying to find a polite word, so I will say disgraceful. All Troy wanted to do was, he had moved on. He had done it, and they pursued him because he dared. He dared to contradict.
Clubs New South Wales declined to do an interview, but in a statement said, Clubs New South Wales and its member clubs take their anti-money laundering responsibilities extremely seriously. New South Wales clubs do not want criminals or criminal activity inside their venues. Having paid over $1 million in legal fees, which cost him his house, last month Troy Stoll settled with Clubs New South Wales. Since then, he's stopped criticising his former employer.
Has he been gagged, in your view?
Well, on the face of it, Troy has been gagged. I think it's very important that the community learn as much as possible about the reasons why there seems to have been some sort of financial settlement, why I assume Clubs New South Wales thinks it's important to now muzzle him.
One answer might be found in Troy Stoll's hospital video, filmed by an Andrew Wilkie staffer.
I might have cancer, but I want every Australian to ask the question, what is the real cancer?
And what is?
Gaming machines, the gambling industry in Clubs New South Wales.
New South Wales was the first Australian state to legalise poker machines in clubs in 1956.
Can you afford to play a poker machine?
Not really.
Pokies turbocharged their growth.
New South Wales has been the home of poker machine gambling for 22 years. Other state governments see them in much the same light as ticks and fruit fly, an economic and social menace.
They turned the New South Wales club industry into an economic powerhouse.
The club industry, financed largely by returns from poker machines, is staggering in size. It employs some 32,000 people, twice as many as BHP. And it's bigger than BHP in capital investment, turnover and capital return.
From the 1990s, things really started to change. Firstly, electronic gaming machines were available. These were really much, much, much better at addicting people. The bells and whistles were enhanced, and they started to become, you know, much more significant avenues for clubs to make lots of money.
A handful became super clubs, powered by poker machine super profits.
What we saw then was that these sort of rivers of gold which were flowing through the poker machine started to fund all sorts of activities. So the clubs became bigger, they became more important, they squeezed out the competition, as it were, in many parts of Sydney, and south-western Sydney in particular, which means that alternative areas of recreation became fewer and further between. They dominated a local environment.
One of the most dominant is West HQ, formerly known as Rooty Hill RSL. It has over 700 poker machines. Its chief executive, Richard Errington, is keen to show off the facilities that gambling profits have built, in particular the 2,000-seat theatre.
Yeah, welcome to the Sydney Coliseum Theatre at West HQ, the Opera House of the West. This is something that we conceived back in 2012, and the theatre opened in 2019, and we're very proud of it.
What does this cost?
Nearly $100 million just for the theatre alone.
West HQ also owns a gymnastics and aquatic centre, a luxury hotel,
and even a bowling alley.
It means a great deal to Western Sydney because it's infrastructure that government were unable to build. We've funded that, albeit through gaming, I accept.
The average person in the street would look at the hotels, the Coliseum Theatre, the other facilities that you're building, and see that they are built potentially on the misery of problem gamblers. How do you explain that?
Well, our funding of those assets largely comes from poker machines and people entertaining. Whether it's from the misery, I'd challenge, but I would accept, I'm not here to defend, but yes, it comes through from poker machines as a large proportion.
And how does that make you feel?
Well, as we progress, I'm feeling better and better about it because we're building more assets that's generating more profit. So in fact, we're reforming internally our behaviour to be less reliant on poker machines and subsequently the effects that poker machines have on the community.
Oh, look, it's amazing architecturally.
Richard Errington fell out with Clubs New South Wales over payment of membership fees and its attitude to gambling. West HQ quit as a member club.
In my opinion, I believe Clubs New South Wales over recent years have lost their way. They've become more of a gaming lobbyist group rather than a representative of clubs, communities, employees. So being primarily focused just on gambling, that was at odds with us.
Clubs in New South Wales were traditionally set up to serve their communities. They arose from their communities. With poker machines over time, those organisations have turned from organisations set up to serve communities to organisations that now prey upon the communities they were originally set up to serve. And so when we look at some of these really large pokies palaces with 200, 300, 400, 700 machines, this is, you know, casino-level gambling on an industrial scale, siphoning money out of communities. Communities those clubs were originally set up to serve and now exploit.
The collective power of the club industry is concentrated in one organisation, the not-for-profit lobby group Clubs New South Wales. It's controlled by a board that includes big club executives.
So the bigger clubs have a much larger influence and voice than the smaller ones. The priority is purely money and profit. And anything that infringed on that was frowned upon. It's about revenue and money.
The clubs lobby in New South Wales is probably the most aggressive lobby group that's ever existed in Australia. They use political donations to buy influence and access to decision makers and politicians. And they also threaten to withdraw support and put the fear of God into politicians when the thought of reform even comes up.
They are the equivalent of the gun lobby in the United States. There's just no mistake about that. Our blind spot is poker machines, and they're extraordinarily powerful.
What do we want?
Access tax!
When do we want it?
Now!
1997 was the year Clubs New South Wales first showed the extent of its political power. The New South Wales Labor government wanted to increase poker machine taxes for clubs.
Save our footy club! Save our footy club!
The outrage was palpable and immediate and across party lines and struck deeply into Labor territory as well. This certainly alarmed a lot of Labor MPs at the time. Their reaction was immediate. They were on to Premier Carr and ministers to say, what are we doing? This is going to lose me my seat.
One of the first acts we will take.
Just 20 days after the tax increase took effect, the government dumped its own policy.
This tax increase has got to go. It
taught me a big lesson. Out of that, I really got to know clubs and their connectivity with the community. The deep roots, their capacity to mobilise, the immediate popular impact that clubs have.
As clubs' gambling profits surged through the 1990s, Clubs New South Wales turned to one of the world's most notorious lobby groups for advice.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. We are the NRA. And the NRA is you.
We unearthed this video of Future Clubs New South Wales CEO Anthony Ball attending a political lobbying course in Washington, D.C.
There is some overlap.
Among the speakers was Glenn Caroline, the NRA's then head of grassroots campaigning.
And let's move on to talking about trying to elect or defeat a political candidate for office.
Anthony Ball was paying close attention to Glenn Caroline's advice to run grassroots campaigns where your supporters gather.
Well, for the National Rifle Association's purposes, our natural resources consist of gun shops, gun shows, gun and hunting clubs, and shooting ranges, the places where people who like to own firearms, who like to shoot, tend to congregate.
Ball was particularly focused on election outcomes.
How much of your election strategy is geared towards attaining your 95% of successes? Obviously, you want to present the image to lawmakers that you are potent when it comes to elections.
Well, you know, we fight where the fight needs to be fought and where it's going to best serve gun owners.
Anthony Ball would soon put those lessons into practice when the Gillard Labor government proposed poker machine reforms in a deal struck with independent MPs to secure power.
We eventually settled on mandatory pre-commitment cards where every poker machine player in the country would have a card, and on that card would be loaded their daily limit. And that would have been a fabulous reform.
Clubs New South Wales mobilised its base against the change. Campaigns were executed at local clubs, a tactic straight out of the NRA's strategy manual.
This is Phil in Tasmania. Andrew Wilkie, who's given his vote to Julia Gillard, has made her Prime Minister on the basis of her introducing a $3 billion mandatory pre-commitment, quote-unquote, reform of poker machine operations in this country. The bloke's a goose, but unfortunately he's a dangerous goose.
It is madness. It is a political deal that has the potential to devastate great clubs like the Maryland RSL and the Narrabri Golf Club. It will do a job on the entire industry.
Right. You do have to make compromises.
Julia Gillard eventually backed out of the deal.
Everyone knew why. It was the pressure being brought to bear on the government by the poker machine industry.
Clubs' political power kept on growing.
There's no better example of just how powerful clubs had become than what's in these quite extraordinary documents. They set out an agreement between the Coalition and Clubs New South Wales delivering favourable treatment, including things like cuts to their poker machine tax rates. You can see at the top here there's the Liberal logo, the Nationals logo, and Clubs New South Wales right in between on equal footing. Down here, it explicitly sets out the size of the tax cuts that will be delivered should the Coalition win government. And right at the bottom, there's the signature of then-opposition leader Barry O'Farrell, who did go on to become Premier. 4 years later, another memorandum of understanding was signed, this time by Premier Mike Baird. And then 4 years after that, Gladys Berejiklian did exactly the same thing. Essentially, these documents have delivered Coalition governments more than 10 years of political peace.
Clubs New South Wales says the agreements are all about transparency before elections and industry certainty.
The fact that they can almost dictate policy and regulation is very concerning from a democracy perspective, but also a wider integrity perspective. I think it erodes people's faith in democracy and actually stops governments implementing policies that might harm the pokies industry in New South Wales.
Some of the biggest losses on poker machines are in areas where gamblers can least afford it. It's the final day of Lunar New Year celebrations in the southwestern Sydney suburb of Cabramatta. Local Federal MP Di Lee is in her element in the community where she grew up.
Happy New Year to you too.
The festival is sponsored by Mounties Group, which owns the largest and wealthiest super club in her seat of Fowler, with over 600 poker machines. It's one of the most disadvantaged federal electorates in Australia. Yet in the main local government area here, Fairfield,
there are almost 4,000 poker machines, one for every 55 residents. Net pokie profits for clubs in the first half of 2022 alone hit almost $214 million.
That $200 million, where is it coming from? How can that kind of population working those kind of jobs be able to spend that much money in clubs? We need to find a way that you can run your business, but not at the expense of a community like Fowler, where you're sucking the blood out of them, right? So somebody has to stand up to say that.
Dai Lee believes her community is being shortchanged by clubs.
What's benefiting my community are the jobs, the services, and the clubs do put back some money into the community. Not enough, though. So that's where I'm trying to have conversations with clubs to say, it's great to say that you put 1% or 2%, but that is nothing compared to what you suck out of our community.
Across the state, in the vast electorate of Murray on the Victorian border, another MP is taking up the fight.
Clubs have waged one of their most intense campaigns here in the Riverina city of Griffith, and the tactics are straight out of the club's New South Wales playbook.
I'm Helen Dalton, independent member for Murray. I'm standing here in front of the Certificate Services Club, and I'm about to go in and have a look at the picture which has been put up with reference to gambling. So let's go and have a look.
Helen Dalton is campaigning hard for poker machine reform in the New South Wales election. Clubs New South Wales encouraged its members to go on the attack.
Gambling's a big problem here, and I thought, no, this is a good thing to be involved with, and it should be brought to the election, and we'll see whether what the people think. And with that, Clubs New South Wales just came at me.
Today, she's using some guerrilla tactics for a social media post.
Oh, wow, here we go. Look at this. Here we go. Here I am in front of the gaming, in the gaming room at the Perfect Servicemen's Club. And apparently, I will cost 503 local jobs. I'll risk more than $3.6 million in community support because I'm calling out the amount of poker machines in the state. I'm calling out reform. I'm not against gambling, however, it is out of control. But here we are. This is Clubs New South Wales. This is the way they try and intimidate and bully me.
Oh, I think it's a pretty low act, absolutely. And, you know, I try and, you know, say it the way it is, and I'll call it out. I'm not going to go away and hide from this and kowtow to them at all. Basically, you know, they're picking on the wrong girl because I'll stand up for my constituents.
Clubs New South Wales says it was a brief campaign against Helen Dalton. It was sparked by the frustration felt by the 49 local clubs in Murray and Miss Dalton's refusal to meaningfully engage with them. Helen Dalton disputes this.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Helen. How are you? I'm good, thank you.
Lovely to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you.
Why don't you
come
in?
Thank you.
I went to school with Frank, Griffith High School, and he's had a gambling problem most of his working life.
Take a seat, Frank.
Thank you.
Great to see you.
Thank you very much. I gambled mostly on horses, but when there was no horses, I'd gamble on the pokies. And the thing is, these days, it's too easy to gamble because they're open so many hours. Mm. I know a few people have committed suicide through gambling.
Wow.
In this town.
G'day, g'day. How are you going? Hey, Donna, how are you doing? Hello, how are you? Lovely to see you.
Helen Dalton says she's alarmed by the scale of the poker machine losses in her electorate.
Hey, Wellesley, how are
Helen,
you?
Helen, how are you?
I'm well. You're looking well.
Well, when the statistics came out, we realised that Murray is one of the bigger gamblers, and there are people that have addiction problems.
Yeah, I'm Helen Dalton, member for Murray.
We don't get the help at all. We don't have access to the councillors like they do elsewhere. So it's massive.
Local clubs make more than 41,000 jobs possible.
Clubs are eager to publicise what they give back to the community from their poker machine profits.
Including myself when I was a kid. Go the Robertson's buddies!
From entertainment and sport to caring for the vulnerable. They claim to have delivered more than $1 billion in community support since 1998.
All this and more made possible by your local club.
Under a scheme called Club Grants, clubs with annual pokie profits over $1 million who voluntarily give community grants can claim the same amount back in pokie tax rebates.
The first thing anyone says, you know, if you talk to a politician about the clubs, they will say, oh, but they do lots of good work in the community. They give the kiddies footy jumpers. They, you know, provide money to Meals on Wheels. It's a really cheap way to buy a good reputation. It costs them nothing.
To be clear, this is a grants program that is underwritten by the New South Wales government and funded through taxpayers' money. By design, clubs are in charge, they are the decision makers, and they're able to claim the credit for giving back to the community, but it's not their money.
Oh, okay, I'm happy with that.
The New South Wales Council of Social Service was part of the scheme for 23 years, until it looked closer into it. NCOS discovered that in many cases, clubs were directing grants towards their own facilities.
Some of them may be categorised as worthy causes, but one of the key elements of the scheme, and or at least the aspect of it that NCOS is involved in, is that it is supposed to be funding that's directed towards improving the living conditions of people who are on low incomes or who are disadvantaged. And arguably, those kinds of initiatives are not aimed at those people.
NCOS quit the scheme and tried to raise its concerns with the New South Wales government, with little success.
I think the club's grant scheme is a perfect example of how their influence is able to be brought to bear, how they're able to ensure that their interests and the interests of their members are front and centre, but at the expense of the public interest.
Being in front of a pokie machine with a different intention.
A decade after it defeated the Gillard government's proposed poker machine reforms, the club industry is facing what may be its biggest test yet. If it wins this month's election, the New South Wales Coalition has promised to introduce a mandatory cashless gambling system that would force pokie players to nominate how much they are prepared to lose. The club industry is again crying foul.
We're concerned at the impact it could have on not only the clubs, but the communities they support. There are 53,000 people employed in the club industry, and the information we've got is that likely 30% of revenue will be reduced by a gambling card. And that could cost 9,000 jobs and reduce community contributions through club grants to close to $26 million. Now, that's a big hole. Now, the clubs do so many good things in the community.
Liberal Gambling Minister Victor Dominello proposed the idea in 2020 to tackle problem gambling. Clubs New South Wales immediately made him a target. This is the first time he's talked about how Clubs New South Wales wielded its power behind the scenes.
Clubs New South Wales made it very clear that they were absolutely against it. And I remember at the time a number of colleagues, MPs from right across the parliament, would come up to me and say, Victor, don't give clubs a hard time. You know they're our friends, don't you? You know, we like clubs. I recall vividly they were in Parliament House and frequently knocking on MPs' doors, again, on all sides of politics. The view taken by Clubs New South Wales was just so strident against it. And there was no give. It was just, no, we don't want it. We will not have it. We will fight you to the death on it.
Victor Dominello's coalition colleagues, the Nationals, were backing Clubs New South Wales. They feared the political backlash the change might bring in their rural heartlands because of its impact on small clubs. When Dominello declined to attend an awards dinner hosted by Clubs New South Wales, a furious Nationals leader, John Barilaro, texted him.
You are seriously a dead-set dick. What about just looking after your stakeholders like Clubs New South Wales? Do your fucking job.
Oh, look, it was, when you read the message, it wasn't. You know, sent from somebody that was in a calm place. So I just responded, look, I'm happy to have a chat with you, have a cup of coffee and walk it through calmly.
Why do you think he was so animated?
Oh, you know, John has been a very big supporter of the clubs New South Wales for a long time.
7 months later, there was a cabinet reshuffle and clubs succeeded in a push to get rid of Victor Dominello.
The lobbying was very intense. It was the most intense I've ever seen in 12 years as a minister. And I realised, look, I'll be honest with you, I realised as soon as I essentially said that we are going to go down this public interest path, that my days were going to be numbered because the relationship between myself and clubs was irretrievable from that point. It seriously soured. They were absolutely going around undermining me, saying we don't trust this minister, we don't have faith in this minister. Essentially, we want a new minister, we can't work with this minister.
He was stripped of responsibility for gambling policy and it was handed to the Nationals. The pressure continued. During a cabinet meeting last year, Nationals leader and Deputy Premier Paul Toole, himself a former gambling minister, issued a warning to his coalition colleagues.
I've seen the list of MPs that clubs is going to target in its campaign at the election, and trust me, you don't want to be one of them.
Do you recall that?
I can't speak about what happens or what is said in cabinet. That's cabinet in confidence. But it's obvious what they are doing to Helen Dalton now. They've got a pattern of behaviour.
In a report last October, the New South Wales Crime Commission cast doubt on the figures contained in the board paper leaked by Troy Stoles. It said the suggestion that up to 95% of clubs weren't compliant with anti-money laundering rules was likely to have been significantly overestimated. But the commission also concluded that billions of dollars in the proceeds of crime are put through poker machines and recommended a mandatory cashless gambling system to combat it.
The Crime Commission's recommendation was the foundation stone. It enabled the Premier, Dominic Perrottet, to go really hard on this because he then had that burning platform.
Since the handing down of the Crime Commission report,
mandatory cashless gambling has become a major policy battleground in this month's New South Wales election.
Make a real difference to people's lives.
Dominic Perrottet has pledged to introduce it if he is returned as Premier. Labor leader Chris Minns is hedging his bets, promising a trial on 500 machines, overseen by an expert panel.
This is a way to ensure we can get an evidence-based process in place for the panel to look at and provide recommendations to government.
Right now, I think the power of Clubs New South Wales is on the line. But it's a fork in the road moment in many ways, because if they succeed in this election in essentially kicking this down the road by dint of trials, then they will become even more emboldened, because they will go around and say, see what we did, see how powerful we are. We will defang the lobby group if we succeed with the cashless gaming, because it shows then that people power, public interest, can defeat vested interest.
This genuinely is a watershed moment. It's New South Wales that really is the big issue. If we can get deep reform in New South Wales, then I'm in no doubt that that reform will roll out across the whole country. New South Wales has half the poker machines in Australia, half the gambling addicts in Australia, and historically the most powerful gambling lobby in Australia. So we get reform there, we've cracked the nut.
3 years after he blew the whistle, Troy Stoles is continuing on his quest for poker machine reform. After his settlement with Clubs New South Wales, he stopped criticising the lobby group, but is still speaking out about problem gambling. The state election has presented a fresh opportunity. Despite his ongoing battle with cancer, Stoles has launched his own campaign.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Excellent. They look fantastic.
It's all right. Thank anything you else much. You need, just let us know.
These look awesome. I'll be back for more. I need to fill every letterbox and cogra with them, so anytime. I'll be back. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Troy. Thanks. See you later.
I think Troy's story is important because it has exposed the way Clubs New South Wales operates. And, you know, it's a classic David and Goliath story. People see Troy as someone, you know, who wants to do the right thing, who felt compelled to become a whistleblower, and was, you know, put through the ringer by an organisation that is not used to having people not do as they're told. He was kind of like, I think he was the first ripple in the wave that was their follow, I think.
Yeah. Stoles knows a bit about politics. He used to be a member of the Liberal Party. Crazy. Now he's taking on opposition leader Chris Minns in his southern Sydney seat of Cogra.
How are you going? Upcoming election? Hopefully I can beat Chris Minns and be a member for Cogra. So vote independent, not Liberal or Labor, independent.
Stoles hopes he can strip some votes from the Labor leader.
Hey mate, how are you?
And make a point about his cashless gambling policy.
Hey mate, how are you going? Independent for Cogra, I'm running against Chris Minns at the election coming up.
All right.
Excellent, good on you. You have a great day. Thank you.
Clubs New South Wales got it wrong. They misjudged Troy's resilience, morality, and his sacrifice, what he was prepared to give up.
Some of you might ask why I've embarked upon this journey. It's a pretty high price to pay. But with the support of my family, it's been a fight that I would do over and over again. Telling the truth may cost me my life very soon. I want the truth to come out and I want it to go on record so people see the real truth behind the club and the gaming industry.
Clubs New South Wales has had a rough ride in its campaign against cashless gambling in New South Wales.
The CEO of Clubs New South Wales, Josh Landis, has apologised to the state's Premier over comments he made regarding Dominic Perrottet's Catholic faith.
Its chief executive, Josh Landis, was sacked by the board after claiming Premier Dominic Perrottet's support for the policy was a result of his Catholic gut.
The sacking of Josh, that only happened because he took on the big end of town and the board knew it was a battle that they couldn't win. And there is a very dangerous narrative currently that's being put out that Josh was the entire problem and with him gone, everything is going to be sweet. This is not the case.
I appreciate it. We need your help.
For the first time in over a decade, neither the Coalition nor Labor has signed a deal with Clubs New South Wales before the election. After years of calling the shots, the once feared gambling lobby group is facing the ultimate challenge to its power and influence.
Do you think there needs to be an inquiry into the power of the club industry and Clubs New South Wales?
For the sake of our democracy, I really believe that this is an issue that the next term of government should address.
So perhaps an inquiry?
An inquiry or some other examination to make sure that, you know, MPs are not cowed into moving a certain way because of this powerful industry.
If this program has raised concerns for you, you can contact one of these services.